I am really excited about this episode. Mike Biseglia is here from OTB Podcasting. And let me tell you, if it wasn't for Mike, this show would not be happening. I have been asked to do a podcast several times by friends, and especially one of my best friends has been pushing and shoving and doing everything he can to get me to put my stuff on the internet. And I've been resistant to it. I've been wanting to work through radio and go up the ranks year after year, just hold on until I can find my spot in radio. But after 5 years, I realized with the economy being what it is, and with opportunities being as slim as they are, I need to do more for myself to get my name out there and get the word out that Wendy Edwards really can put on a good show. So that's it. Mikey B is here. We're going to talk about OTB podcasting and how you can podcast yourself. And we'll also get into the next voiceover star. It is Cartoon Week, and I have animated voices to share with you and some critiques by voiceover professionals Justin Barrett and Kevin Delaney. Stick with me. We've got a bunch to do in a short amount of time. You're listening to Wendy Edwards on the internet.
I remember Wendy always with a smile and always willing to share whatever needed. I'm excited by what Wendy's doing because there are so many artists in this world that seem to get lost in the cracks or have difficulty finding a voice. Best about Wendy is her ability to interview people and to really look into the heart of the person and see what they're about as a human being, what it is in them that makes their art come to life.
You're listening to Wendy's Podcast on the Charlottesville Podcasting Network and WendyEdwards.com.
I'm here with Mike Biseglia of OTB Podcast. And Mike, I was very grateful when you came to me and asked me, did I want to start a podcast? And I, first of all, want to thank you for that.
Oh, absolutely. Wendy, I'm glad to help. It's good to see that your podcast has a following going. It's really cool.
Yeah, it's getting there. It's going to take some time, but I'm, you know, appreciative of the people that are listening right now.
Definitely.
So what excited me the most is that somebody's doing podcasts. I know that it's been attempted by other people in Charlottesville for some time now, but it's never really gotten off the ground. So what encouraged you to get this going?
Well, that's a good question, Wendy, and thinking back on it now, my good friend in Charlottesville, Leon, and I, we wanted to start our own podcast. Him and I were roommates for so many years, and we would argue on the couch, and people would always say, you guys should have your own show, blah, blah, blah. So we're like, okay, let's do this. So we put the podcast together, and it started to get a little bit of a following, and I liked it, and I thought to myself, well, I enjoy doing a podcast. I wonder if there's other people that always wanted to do this but never really had the opportunity. And then the more I thought about it, I said, well, maybe this is an opportunity for a small business. Mm-hmm. I've noticed that on the radio people do this. Maybe I could give that same opportunity for somebody that wanted to expand their business and have a little podcast with it.
Now, when you say when people on the radio do this, what do you mean by do this? Can you explain what a podcast is and what people are doing?
Yeah, sure. For example, on the radio, well, I guess when I say do this, mm-hmm. there's on WINA, there's Michael Guthrie, and he had a real estate show. It would be about the market and the marketplace, and he would use his experience to have a talk show about it. For example, there's the Snow Gardening people, and they're all about landscaping and gardening and everything. And they did a show that really helps the community. So my thought was, well, maybe there'd be similar aspects like that.
The people that generally take over this kind of operation would be an authority of some kind in their field.
Right. And I thought that could be a good opportunity for people that have that recognition. But that's not it. You can do whatever you want. Wendy, you've always wanted to put a show together. You're very talented. And so it's just hard to find space on the radio sometimes. But there's a whole other medium out there in the internet. Mm-hmm. And you've taken advantage and doing a great job and spurring on your own show.
Thank you. So, well, it wasn't without the encouragement of you and other people here at the radio group.
Well, that's not a problem. But so you have businesses and then people that just want, like yourself, that wanted to put something together that's a little bit different than what's on the radio and an opportunity to speak your mind.
I know that you've been working hard to get clients for OTB Podcast. Can you tell me what shows you're sponsoring right now on the Charlottesville Podcasting Network?
Well, there's quite a few now, which is great to see. Mark Lorenzoni of the Ragged Mountain Running Shop, he has a show called Runcast.
What does he talk about on Runcast?
It's all about your local running, if it's what's going on in your community, different tips and training aspects that can get you better, some people in the area that have achieved some great goals. And this is such a rich community for running. People mm-hmm. love it. The people have gravitated towards it, and I think it's fabulous. It's been awesome. The people over at Beer Run, mm-hmm. they're doing a show, and you might guess, about beer, about yeah. craft beer, how to make beer, different styles of beer. And let's be honest, people love beer.
Yeah.
People love to talk about it. And they have a background being that they own an establishment that's not just a place that sells beer, but is a restaurant with great food. Mm-hmm. And it's been an opportunity for them to talk a little bit differently about what's going on in the community as well with the beer world, which I think has been fabulous. Breadcast, which was a bakery that mm-hmm. Talked about making bread.
That's a new bakery coming to Charlottesville, correct?
Right. That's one that'll be coming in the next couple of months. So it's sort of a different way for them to advertise and do a little pre-promotion mm-hmm. for them as well. One show that's not quite on Sivo podcast yet, but we'll be there very shortly, and we sort of have these shows sort of accumulating in the can, as they say, is Craig Hartman. He's the chef. He was the former chef at Keswick.
Okay.
And he's now created a restaurant that's a barbecue place called Barbecue Exchange in Gordonsville. And this guy has such a rich knowledge of food and different chefs. He's interviewing different chefs in Charlottesville and getting in their mind and their background about how they became a chef.
And he's going to share that with us in podcasts on the Charlottesville Podcasting Network.
He will. Yeah,
wow.
He's going to do that, which I think, and I've heard some of these shows because we've been recording them. Mm-hmm. They're going to drive people nuts. They are wild. They are awesome.
Well, you love to cook yourself, right?
I love to cook myself, so yeah. It's great. I love when he comes in the studio and we'll record together.
Yeah.
He's been out by the smoker cooking, you know, food, all meats all day.
Mm-hmm.
He smells like the food, and I'll tell you, you're not allowed to bring food in the studio, which I don't do. But the food smell is caked onto his shirt.
Oh,
the next morning, you'll think I was eating a buffet in the studio, but it's not the case. But it's just
from being around it.
That's just a few.
A tough chef.
And I know I'm forgetting some others because we've really hit about 10 now. We had a couple's power on there about relationship advice.
Peter Sherrison, his wife.
Yeah, Phyllis.
What was her first name? Phyllis.
Yep.
Okay, and they have couples power. Are they still doing that?
They have. They are in the process of working out their next few that they'd like to do.
Okay.
But they'll be continuing it.
I interviewed Peter Sherris for Charlottesville Woman magazine on whether or not you should spy on your kids and find out whether they're using the internet or who they're talking to on their cell phone and everything. Well, I'll tell you, I have a 14-year-old, and Peter really put things in perspective for me.
Good.
When I was talking to him, because I don't like to spy on my daughter. I like to trust who she is and what she does.
Sure.
And, you know, and be able to let her be herself without following up on the internet and finding out who she's talking to. I can ask her in a conversation.
Right.
And what I found from him was, really, it's okay to do that. I know things are scary right now out there, like in society, you know, your kids, who are they talking to? There are strangers on the internet. But for the most part, kids are talking to other kids. And,
right.
And they're in their schools and they're people that they know. And as long as you have a good, I think, communication with your kids, and Peter really solidified that with me, just have a good rapport. And keep communication open, and things will be good. So I'm glad that he's talking about couples power with Phyllis.
Yeah, they're taking some of their advice and putting it on a podcast for people to listen to. So that's one they're in the process now of thinking and organizing their next set of shows that will be coming out on SevillePodcast.com.
Who else you got?
Let's see. We do have Jennifer Till, Real Life with Jennifer Till. She's taking her on-air show and incorporated it into the podcast world as well, a different avenue.
What kind of, what does Jennifer do? What kind of show does she host?
Her show is, it's for women. It's dedicated to women. Of course, anybody can listen.
Mm-hmm.
The podcast world, the button won't say, oh, male DNA on there. We're not going to let you listen. Doesn't have that type of scanning device.
Is it geared toward empowering women?
Exactly.
Okay.
Exactly. And that's sort of been her goal in interviewing some unique and different people in the area and sharing perspective. We've also had Aaron and Kara who have joined, and they're doing about meditation, which I think people should totally tune into on Seville Podcast.
That's Aaron Johnson and Kara
Marinucci.
I remember after you taped Aaron and Kara, I saw you after that podcast, and you really enjoyed that.
I had a great time with that one, and it's funny because I was, as the producer, my role as they were reading and talking about and going through the meditation process into some techniques was to then play music, of course, to incorporate it into the podcast.
Right.
And I was just so into it. I totally spaced it out. They're like, Mike, you need to hit the button now.
I hope it relaxed.
I added it and relaxed, but I think it's definite listen for people. It was a different alternative, something new, and it's sort of a little tease for what they can offer in their field, and it's a great way to get a feel for what they offer. I really recommend listening.
And that's
to that.
Only like a 10-minute break in your day to listen to their podcast, right?
Exactly, exactly.
That you could just kind of close your eyes and let yourself relax for a few minutes.
Do it during lunch.
Yeah, do it during lunch. There you
exactly.
go.
Exactly.
And then you can kind of rest up and feel good for the rest of the day. Did you find yourself energized by that?
What do you mean exactly by energized?
Okay, when you relax through meditation, right? You
right.
feel really calm and sedated, so somewhat sedated.
Mm-hmm.
And then a little bit later, you just kind of feel like your day's got a good vibe. That's what I mean by energized. Like when you're meditating, you don't have that, obviously, because you're relaxing and being calm. But because you took that time out to do that later on, you just have a spring in your step.
Yeah, I would say so. Definitely. It definitely relaxes you later on and puts things in perspective in stressful moments. Because everybody knows in their daily lives there can be times where things are stressful and tough and hard and you think you'll never get through it. That definitely gives you a little perspective. And if anything else, during that 10 minutes of the meditation, it was nice just to turn it off and just mm-hmm. sort of space out a little mm-hmm. bit and not use your brain, which felt very good, not going to lie.
It does feel good.
It was a good feeling. Afterwards, I was like, this is a hit. I was all about it.
I remember. I was lucky enough to see you when you came fresh from that
podcast. That's right.
And this is a great place for us to pause, take a breather, and hear what's coming up on the next VoiceOver Star. And we'll be back with Mike Biseglia of OTB Podcasting next on The Wendy Edwards Show.
Ladies and gentlemen, it's time for the next VoiceOver Star.
Brought to you by The Wendy Edwards Show and these fine sponsors. ProSound, the caller experience expert. Amoeba Films, the VoiceOver Pavilion, with radio script provided by Gil Zemer's Advertising Shop. Five finalists have been selected to compete in the next VoiceOver Star. Over the next 4 weeks, they'll get the opportunity to work for ProSound, the caller experience experts. It's up to you to choose who gets to be the next VoiceOver Star. The next VoiceOver Stars have sent in audio for animations, so we will hear their cartoon voices. You'll hear my cartoon voice, as well as Justin Barrett. He's going to join us in the script for this week. I'm so excited. We have a lot to do in such a short amount of time, so let's get busy.
You're listening to Wendy's Podcast on the Charlottesville Podcasting Network and WendyEdwards.com.
I'm in the studio with Mike Biseglia of OTB Podcasting. He is the guy who gently nudged me into creating my own podcast and putting it on WendyEdwards.com and the Charlottesville Podcasting Network. Mike, we've talked about your podcasts and your initiative and getting people to do podcasting here in Charlottesville and get their stuff on the Charlottesville Podcasting Network.
Right.
What I've noticed is that you are quite an entrepreneur. You are a go-getter.
Thanks,
you
Wendy.
You're welcome. I mean, you have no qualms about who you step up to and say, hey, want to do a podcast?
Right.
Have you always been that way? The kind of guy that takes initiative?
Two parts to that.
All right, tell
First, me. First, you just spurred something in my head. There's somebody I need to email that I approached the other day and I totally forgot to do. So I thank you on that one.
You're
I'm
welcome.
Trying to get an economic dude.
Okay.
Come in and do a podcast, which I think would be really cool because of the financial situation. And the second part to answer your question, I still am the shyest person until you get to know me. Once you get to know me, I'll open up. But as a kid, I was so shy, so scared to talk to people.
Really?
A little nervous. But then as you got to know me, I really can open up and you get to know my personality. And I'll tell you this, sometimes I feel on the radio, it's easier to be myself than it is in real life.
Yeah, I honestly find the same thing. But I would never know that you were shy based on what I've watched you do with OTB Podcasting.
Yeah, well, I appreciate that. I think in a lot of ways, being on the radio has helped me to go approach people. And it's also given me an edge, I think, because sometimes people have heard of me and it makes it a little easier to start a conversation. But boy, like in high school, I didn't talk to girls till I was like 23 years old.
Really?
I was so shy.
I don't even get that from you.
So
there's no way.
So shy.
Who is this person?
I'm telling you. But I've grown up, you know. I'm turning 28 in a few months.
And uh-huh.
Just becoming myself, I guess.
See, I had this vision because I've watched you talk to people about getting their own podcast that I thought maybe you were the little kid out there that sold all the raffle tickets on the baseball team and got all the big prizes for selling all the tickets.
Not at all.
That wasn't you?
Zero.
Wow.
Zero.
I would never have known that.
Reserve. I don't want to make it seem like I was quiet and didn't talk to people.
No, but like
but
you said, once you get to know somebody, right, you can open up.
And I had my clique of friends and we all got along, but I wasn't the guy, a 15-year-old in high school, that was brash and upfront. I was doing my own thing, playing my video games, hanging out, having pizza. See you later.
That's pretty awesome.
Yeah, I'm just glad Facebook didn't exist then, because you know then it would have been stalking people. It would have been terrible.
But I'm interested in what changed that. What gave you this drive to speak up a little bit more?
I don't know. First off, it's weird to even hear someone say they think of me like that, because I never really heard that before growing up.
Mm-hmm.
My fiance tells me all the time that I'm an outgoing person that people like, and uh-huh. I should stop saying that about myself because it's not true.
Maybe it isn't true anymore, though, because I don't see it either.
No, you're right. Sometimes it's just hard to kick habits of stuff that you felt when you were younger.
Mm-hmm. But
now we're getting very deep here.
Psychologist Wendy.
Now you're getting inside the OTB man's head.
And how do you feel about that?
Mm. You're getting me nervous, Wendy. I thought we were going to talk about podcasts and beer.
No, I want to talk about Mikey B a little bit too, so people understand where you're coming from.
Okay.
And I just wanted to remark on what I noticed, but you really don't know where that change happened for you?
I think in a lot of ways, going to college, of course, became a little more outgoing.
Okay.
I moved to Charlottesville.
From where?
From New Jersey.
Okay.
And put here, became a little more outgoing. I think also, when I met Jess, I think she's really helped me become more of a confident person. I feel pretty good about myself, and I thank her for a lot of that.
And in what ways does she inspire that?
She tells me every day how cool I am, and
really,
yeah, she does, and I love her, and she's just helped me feel good about myself, and you know, I think she's a good looking chick, so it makes me feel good. You know
uh-huh.
what I'm saying? But
so like every day you wake up, and you're ready to take over the world.
Yeah, I feel that, and. Now I always feel like I just have to be at the next step. And you know me, Wendy. I am always worried about something. If everything with the business stuff.
Yeah,
I mean, if everything's working, I feel like, okay, this is good, but what could we be doing now to make it even better?
Right.
I don't want to settle on stuff. And
right. I think that's what it takes to be a great businessman, is that you're constantly thinking on ways to improve and how to get to the next step or the next level in your business. People who sit on their business don't do very well. So I think you're doing great.
I watched that Facebook movie a few weeks back.
What Facebook movie? I didn't see it.
You know what I'm talking about. Stop
The
Social Network.
Social Network, yeah.
You're lying. You know the
No,
thing. You know
I do now that
about.
You brought it up. But I'm like, what Facebook movie? I thought there was something new on YouTube I missed or something.
No. I just
saw. All right, so you're talking about way back.
Have you seen the movie?
No, I haven't yet.
Well, anyway, it just showed his initiative in getting this website rolling and how it moved. He's a jerk in the movie. Who knows if that's how things really happened.
Right.
But I just loved how...
For the record, Mike, you're not a jerk.
Oh, thanks, Wendy.
You're welcome.
I just liked how... it was inspiring just to watch like how things got developed and got going together. My weakness is I'll reveal things. I am clueless on the internet and I need lots of help. I'm a monkey. You can train me and I can do things,
mm-hmm.
but I need help. So maybe I'll plug that here. Help me.
Yeah.
I'm trying to get better.
Yeah.
Maybe
well,
I shouldn't be telling people.
How about
this.
Let me plug this? I'm clueless about getting advertising for my podcast.
Yeah.
So help me.
Well, all I know is the more people that listen, the easier it is. It has to be to sell it.
Yeah. It's just
one
a matter
think,
of who's
right?
going to join in.
Sure.
Yeah.
So if you're listening, if you're, I don't know, I'm trying to think of some random business on Pantops or something.
I don't know.
Yeah.
Well, actually, for this show, probably would need people that could cater to a wider audience since we're on the internet. I mean, we have people listening across the country to the Wendy Edwards show.
That's
so,
true.
Yeah. So they'd really need to be able to market to everyone and not just a specific area.
Valid point.
You encouraged me to start doing this. And I know you wanted a website. And I know that you're encouraged, you know, to get your website done. So you're like, hey, Wendy's one way to get the website done. But at the same time, I don't think you would have come to me or asked me to do that or put me out here to do a podcast if you didn't really think I could do this.
Right. No, you're absolutely right, Wendy. I mean, I walked by your desk, and it's just pure luck and circumstance. I walked by your desk and saw your website and mm-hmm. went, wow, that looks really sharp, looks really good. And I was like,
did someone help you? Did you, you know, I don't know. Mm-hmm. They're like, no, I did this myself. You're like, you did this yourself.
Well, I did have help. I can't say I did it completely myself.
I was floored.
I did the design myself, yeah, but the coding I get help with.
Sure, but it looked great. I mean, yeah. Your website looks very good.
Thank you. It's
a good-looking website. And I've been trying forever to get help with my website. Leon, not Leon Russell, Leon Oliver. Leon is good with the internet stuff. He's smarter than me with that. He has a little more intuition on sort of figuring things out.
You're talking
out
about Leon, the other half of Out of the Box show that you do as a podcast.
And he just helps me with things.
Okay.
You know, I love that kid. Hate him and love him at the same time. But anyway, him and I had been looking for somehow to put a website together. We couldn't do it. Just wasn't possible. Saw yours and said, oh my goodness, I would love the help. And then you told me about trying to want your own podcast.
No, Sherry, I think, told you.
Yeah, Sherry did.
That I should do something. Sherry's been pushing me to do a podcast.
Right.
Other people have been pushing me to do a podcast. I was the only one who didn't think I could do a podcast.
Well, you were wrong.
I really felt that way.
Yeah, and, like, you were wrong.
Yeah, I was wrong.
Go to your room.
I know.
But no, Sherry said that, and it sort of just clicked in my head. Well, I've heard you on the radio, so I know you sound good. I've seen that you can put a website together. I know how to do some of this editing stuff. This just seemed like a natural fit where we could trade, essentially, mm-hmm. Don't tell the government, and we could help each other without having to spend too much money.
It's
sort of a bartering system. I'll give you my service.
Mm-hmm.
It's sort of like neighbors, got some milk, I got my eggs, and there you go.
And it worked out really well.
It did.
We are in studio with Mike Biseglia of OTB Podcast. If you feel it's time to have your own podcast, Mike would be the man to get in touch with. You have a way of finding things other people can offer that they may not realize they can. We'll get into that in just a couple of minutes. Right now, it's time we take a break. We'll be back in a bit.
I'm Chester Hull from ProSound. We're the caller experience experts. Everybody can relate to calling a company and having a bad experience. We're like interior designers or graphic artists for your phone system, making it relevant, making it interesting, making it fun, making it something that grabs the ear. Call us. Have us do a caller experience evaluation. Delight your callers. Make a difference. Treat them well. They'll be customers for life. Treat them poorly. They'll be someone else's customer tomorrow.
Find out more at www.prosoundusa.com.
Mike, before the break, you were explaining how you and I got together and started this podcast for the Wendy Edwards Show. You had a need for a website, and you felt I could benefit from starting the Wendy Edwards Show and putting it online. And so we worked together in a barter type situation, and here we are now. What I want others to understand is that you saw more than just the opportunity to have a website. It gave me more confidence knowing that you and Sherry and a couple other friends who have really been pushing me to do this, put yourself behind what I do. So I want to thank you for that.
You're welcome.
And I wanted to ask you, do you find that with other people that you introduce to podcasting? Like, do you see something in them that makes you think they would be good for a podcast?
And when I look for someone to do a podcast, mm-hmm. I look for, in particular, two items.
Okay.
You're passionate about what you're talking about, mm-hmm. and what you're talking about is something that people could really benefit from.
Okay.
I think if you have those two attributes, you can do a podcast. Why not? Mark Lorenzoni, Ragged Mountain Running Shop, loves running. Is a running enthusiast. This town has people that run all over the place.
Mm-hmm.
His podcast, you can hear from him his passion about it. You can hear from him skills and tips. I just ran the Charlottesville 10 miler the other day. He totally helped me. I'm listening to these skills.
Like, prepare for the race.
Oh, we're doing the show. And he's like, this is what you want to do here. This is how you need to do here. This is what you do the night before. I mean, on and on. And I went into that race. I felt so good. After I crossed the finish line, I just wanted to give him a big kiss. Like, I just felt so good about things. And it's because his passion in the podcast, you can feel it.
I'm sorry. His message. Still picturing a big kiss. That's why I'm smiling.
I gave him a hug.
That would be so cute.
All right. So you have it there. The people from Beer Run. I mean, you're learning about beer.
Mm-hmm.
And people love to hear that. And their passion spills, we'll say. No food.
Their passion boils over.
Yeah, you can feel it. Yeah. You really can. Craig Hartman, the chef at Barbecue Exchange in Gordonsville. He was the head chef in Keswick, and ran the culinary school at Cornell.
Mm-hmm.
He is a brilliant chef. He is great on the radio. His voice is rocks, is awesome. He's interviewing different chefs and learning their backstory and getting in their mind. Awesome stuff.
Yeah.
Plus, food comes all the time when he's interviewing these chefs. So cool.
so hard to work that.
Yeah, right. Yeah. I mean, it's just awesome. I think it's just great stuff. I really think if you have those two, you can put a podcast together.
You seem to find that in people, and that's when I see you kind of like, you know, you make your move, Mike.
Right. Right. Maybe you're right. I don't know.
I pay attention to what you're doing.
Well,
and I see that, you know, if someone comes in and they may be a guest on another show,
right,
or you've listened to them somehow and you know that they really know what they're talking about, you are right there to say, you know what, you could share this with the world and I can show you how.
Maybe that's my intuition with radio. I don't know. I've definitely thought of people who could really benefit from this,
mm-hmm,
who could use this, who would do a good job with it. And I've, like a shark, I've gone after them, and it's for their benefit.
And it's amazing to me to watch you do that, knowing now that you say you were shy. I just don't see it.
Really?
Yeah, I don't see it at all, because you are so focused. When you believe in someone and you believe in what they can do and you see that you are a natural fit with them for OTB podcasting, there's no stopping you. There's like nothing gets in your way.
Thank you, Wendy.
You're welcome.
I'm trying.
It's fun
to
watch.
I love it. This has re-energized me. It's made me excited to come to work. I love it. I love seeing the podcast site grow.
Yeah.
I think it's so cool.
Yeah.
I never want it to stop. I want it to be the America Podcasting Network, and we'll see where it goes.
Charlottesville, that'll be awesome.
Charlottesville's great. Just one dot, you know? Who knows?
Who does know? But what I see in you is that it is really the sky's the limit.
Thank you, Wendy.
You're welcome. I think it's going to be fantastic.
I do, too. I just, there's so many unknown questions.
Well, I think it's already fantastic, but
no,
I can
know.
See like you do, because you work to improve it day after day after day, that really the sky is the limit. That's what I mean by that.
I know, and I just get excited to think about what could happen, mm-hmm, and all I want to do is just give all my effort to just making it work. I obsess.
That's okay. It's good you obsess, because you make shows like mine incredible.
Thank you.
You're
no,
welcome.
You make your show incredible.
Well, you know what I'm saying?
I've done nothing.
Whatever.
I taught you how to put the mic on. That's all I did.
I've been having a good time.
Good.
But I do want to put you on the spot, because you've been mentioning these other shows and how, you know, you think they can benefit, or people can benefit from listening to them. So how can people benefit from listening to my show?
It's a great question.
Yeah.
Well, I'll say this. We came into the studio for your first show,
uh-huh,
that we put together. And what you did was simply remarkable, the joy that you gave another person. And when I saw that, I was touched. I really was.
Aww.
I mean, I thought that was really special, Wendy.
I talked with Petra when she was in the,
mm-hmm,
hospital with her son?
I thought that was very cool. And I think that sort of just describes you there. It just, you can benefit from your podcast as learning about life, different personal stories of people, different experiences.
Mm-hmm.
And you can leave the podcast just maybe with a little more of a smile and just like, oh, that was great.
Yeah. And I'm hoping it'll encourage other people to grow too within themselves and,
yeah,
help other people and think about people in a new way.
Right. No, I think that's cool. Now let me switch this on you, and I'll ask you a question.
All right, you do that.
What have you learned from interviewing different people?
Oh, gosh, Mike, I've been interviewing people for about 6 years. And so I think I just have a natural curiosity that I want to know so much about everything about everyone.
Yeah.
And so I ask a wide array of questions, and I've learned a lot about life, a lot about people, a lot about love. And I've learned, I think most of all, that in everything there is in the entire world and all the things that are important in like business and family and anything you could possibly think of, the greatest thing, the greatest gift we all have is love. And the only thing that we can do for each other is through love. And so, like, this is a good question, because it came up recently. I was over at Fluvanna Youth Baseball on Saturday. They opened up for the season, and I was there to cover it for a writing gig that I had.
Okay.
And so there was another writer there from another paper, and she's brand new to writing as a career. And so she said, sometimes it's really hard for me, because I'll get with a family whose child is dying, and can I give them? I can't really console them or anything. I said, you know what? The best gift that you can give them is love. When you write that story about their kid, make sure that your heart is in that story.
Yes.
And so that's what I've learned. That's what I've learned in interviewing people, is just make sure that my intention is that you shine the best you can by the time I'm finished.
And see, hearing you talk, Wendy, you can hear that passion And there you go. You can put a podcast together
and
just like
truth,
that.
It's the truth, though. I mean, it's just it how is. I treat people in normal, everyday life.
It is. It's cool. There's.
I want my kid to shine. I want my husband to shine. I want everybody I know to just live the best life they can and be the best possible person they can.
Wendy.
What?
That
true.
Was nice. I don't
but
know how to
true.
Follow that up.
Follow it up with, I will do my best, Wendy.
I will do my best,
Actually, I see you doing your best, and I wanted to just tell you that I appreciate that.
Thank you. Thank you.
You're welcome.
Try it.
Yeah, I know you are. That's why I'm doing this. That's why I'm saying this to you, because I want to say, hey, Mike, I see you. I see you in there working so hard.
Thank you. Thank
You're
you. Now, don't scream so loud. You'll have Callie and come flying in here.
You know what I'm saying, though?
No, I appreciate
Sometimes
it.
Sometimes it takes that. Sometimes it takes somebody recognizing that someone else is doing hard work and that they're not just motivated to do it, but they're successful at it. Sometimes you need a reminder that you're not doing this just because you're like nuts or something.
That's cool. It's fun.
I'm glad you're having a good time.
I am. I really am.
Let's pause for just a moment and hear from the caller experience experts. And we'll be back in just a moment with Mike Biseglia and how you can podcast yourself with OTB Podcasting on The Wendy Edwards Show.
You're listening to Wendy's Podcast on the Charlottesville Podcasting Network and WendyEdwards.com.
I'm Chester Hull from ProSound. We're the caller experience experts. Everybody can relate to calling a company and having a bad experience. We're like interior designers or graphic artists for your phone system, making it relevant, making it interesting, making it fun, making it something that grabs the ear. Call us. Have us do a caller experience evaluation. Delight your callers. Make a difference. Treat them well. They'll be customers for life. Treat them poorly. They'll be someone else's customer tomorrow.
Find out more at www.prosoundusa.com.
And we're back with Mike Biseglia of OTB Podcasting, also from Outside the Box with Mike and Leon, if you want to check that out at otbpodcast.com, where you can get more information about both Mike and Leon and listen to their show, which is always hilarious and always insightful. I really enjoy listening to that. Not only is their show hosted on their website, but it's also on the Charlottesville Podcasting Network, where you can find The Wendy Edwards Show. And Mike, there are others coming to the Charlottesville Podcasting Network.
Well, we have some that will be coming up shortly, not quite there yet now, but we're going to have a special on helping take care of your pets from a vet who will just give some tips. It'll be short, 3 to 5 minutes, sort of more of a daily podcast, but different tips that can help you with your animal.
Okay.
Also, animals. I should say, and also coming up, which I'm looking forward to this, is with Andy Zeman. He's going to be doing stuff on finances, how to be better organized with your money and how to save, which is always so important.
Andy is a well-respected advisor in the radio community as it is. So
yeah, no, he does a great job, and he'll help you if you want to learn about mutual funds and how to save your money and put it away. Because everybody, let's be honest, everybody wants to learn how they can save money. And I'll say this, it's not how much you save sometimes, but it's how much you spend that can definitely make the difference in having money in your wallet.
And what you spend it on.
True.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
All right, Mike. So I know that you've been doing OTB Podcast for a couple of months now. When did you begin this?
Well, middle of, what are we in now? This is March?
Yeah.
Okay, so maybe mid-January?
Mid-January, and already this many people signing up to do podcasts.
Yeah.
And wow. I know you have room for more.
Oh, it's limitless. Basically, it's there for you. It's for the people. It's for the people of Charlottesville. It's also for the people of the world because this is the internet. Anybody
That's right.
can see it. I'd encourage anybody that has a small business that might be interested in doing something a little different to give it a try. And you don't have to have radio experience. You don't have to be a savvy veteran of the radio world.
No, but I think it's good if you do have a really good working knowledge of your business.
Exactly.
And how it works and how it can help people. Because if you don't, I feel you would be wasting your time having a podcast.
Yeah, but if it's something you think that could really add to some depth to what you give, for example, people want to in this community learn about running. People want to be enriched. People want tips. People want an edge there. People want to learn about beers that are in the area and what they can drink, how they can save money. If you have something that you can offer the community, this is a fun, different way to do it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I think it takes a knowledge to be able to do that. But if you have that, I would encourage you definitely to talk to Mike and get yourself in with OTB Podcast.
No, thanks, Wendy, for having me on. Now I feel honored I'm on the Wendy Edwards Show.
No, I have another question before I let you go.
I feel like this is the tough one coming.
No, I don't know. It may be hard for you to decide, but based on your own personality and what your likes are, what would you like to see? What kind of podcast or what podcast would you like to see or hear on OTB Podcast?
I want a sports. I want someone with some sports podcast to get on there. We
have
no sports stuff on there right now. I mean, I have a sports background.
So ideally, if you could have a sports podcast,
I kind of want. And this is what I think would be sort of cool.
Okay.
I just want some guys that or girls that don't have any sports radio experience, that don't have any TV experience, but are sports fanatics that love sports.
And
a couple of
their
guys come
it.
Together. Come in there and they can do their own sports show. It doesn't have to be for a company, for a business. Mm-hmm. I just always hear people going, oh, I could do a great job doing that. I could put my own sports show together. I want someone to come in here mm-hmm. and do their own sports show. I think it'd be cool to listen to.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
All right, Mike. Thank you so much for visiting from OTB Podcast. How can people get in touch with you if they are interested in coming in and having you produce their podcast?
Well,
they
can always email me at mike@wina.com. Shoot me over an email. You can leave a message on the Seville Podcast website, SevillePodcast.com.
Okay.
Facebook, I'm on there as well. You can find me. Don't be shy. I'm here to help you. If you want to put a podcast together, we'll get it rolling.
I think you're a friend on my fan page, too. So if Sweet. They want to get through to you that way, they can do that.
They will. Thanks for having me on there, Wendy.
You're welcome. Still to come, the next voiceover star. It is our final week, and our contestants have submitted auditions for animation. So stick around for that. Let's hear from two musicians in Charlottesville that are pretty laid back. They just like to play guitar and sing. Here's Bubba Rose on The Wendy Edwards Show.
Started, how it all began, I'm not sure I remember, I'm not sure if I can, there was no big idea, there was no master plan, I probably could have used one, but I've done the best I can. I can do to get by. Used to come easy, now I try. Use my lock up, that's no lie. And I swear it's all I can do to get by. I swear it's all I can do to get by. This ain't no fairy tale. It ain't getting any easier, and there ain't no more soul to sell. And now it's all I
can do to get by. Used to come easy, now I try. I've used my luck up, that's no lie. And I swear it's all I can do to get by. I swear it's all I can do to get by. I swear it's all I can do.
That's Bubba Rose of Charlottesville. Two guys who have been friends for a very long time, who've grown up playing rock and roll together, just kicking back, putting out their brand new CD. I'm on the line with actual voiceover stars Kevin Delaney and Justin Barrett, friends in the voiceover industry who have graciously agreed to help me review the next voiceover star this week. Before we do get into the next voiceover star, I'd like to shine a light on what each of you actually do. Let's start with you, Justin. How long have you been in voiceover for?
I caught the acting bug, and it was kind of an extension of that several years later. After somewhere when I was in the middle of studying animation at the Art Institute of Seattle, I was starting to do voices for my own projects, and even some stuff for some other friends' projects, and I actually got a voiceover job while I was trying to apply for a 3D modeling job for a game company. And that was the first one, and it kind of escalated from there. And that was about, over 10 years ago, I think.
And where did you get your start?
In the town I grew up in, there was a group in that town and a group the next town over, and then a big group in the region that did a musical every year. And I just got to a point where I was literally hopping from one show to the next between these different groups, and just had a ton of fun doing it. And that's what, you know, got the acting bug going for me. And then, but like I said, my first actual voiceover job was as a French ski instructor named Jacques Brunet for a Nancy Drew video game produced by a company in Seattle or just outside of Seattle. And I had a ton of fun doing it.
Kevin, how long have you been in voiceover for?
I started in 1994, and I started out mostly doing commercials and also some video games in Pittsburgh. I was an actor doing stage shows and that sort of thing, and got involved in doing regional commercials, both on camera and voiceover. And there was a guy in one of the stage shows I was doing who worked for a video game company, and he said, "Do you want to do some characters in a video game?" Sure, why not? So that's how I got started. And then in 98, the very tail end of 98, I moved to Los Angeles, and I've been here ever since.
Are you still acting in Los Angeles?
Yes. Well, I'm certainly doing voiceover work, which is acting, but I'm also occasionally doing stage work, on-camera things. I'm part of a sketch comedy group here with several other prominent voiceover people. Bill Farmer, who is the voice of Goofy. Richard Horvitz, who's a very prominent voiceover artist. And the group is headed by Fred Willard, of course, who's been in all kinds of things over the years.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, I stay quite busy out here.
Are there any voices you've done that would be familiar to us?
I've certainly done voice matches. I voice matched Mr. Ed for the TV Land Awards a few years ago. That was a skit that they were doing with Alan Young, who played Wilbur on the show.
Mm-hmm.
And Alan Lane, or Rocky Lane, as he went by, who was the voice of Mr. Ed, died a number of years ago. So
right.
Cast a voice match for that. That was a really fun thing to get to do. I was also a voice match for Brad Bird, who was the voice of Edna in The Incredibles, if you remember, the little pint-sized fashion designer.
Uh-huh.
And that was for the Disney on Ice show based on The Incredibles, which I've just heard now they're doing a kind of a best of Disney on Ice, which has scenes from a whole bunch of different shows, and they're using the Edna a scene in that, so I just got paid all over again for my voice match for Edna.
And Justin?
Voices that would be familiar to people? I can do some voices that are familiar to people, though I've only actually done a small number of those for real work. When I was a Big Idea, I kind of started practicing mimicking several of the lead VeggieTales character voices, And it kind of caught the interest of my coworkers. And they kept joking around saying, well, if Phil Vischer, who does those characters, ever couldn't do them contractually for some reason, well, they'll call on you. And I kind of laughed it off and said, yeah, right. But then several years later, I got a phone call and got to do two of those characters, Pa Grape and Archibald Asparagus, for a live stage show that was being done where they have big people, not big people, but people in these large costumes as the VeggieTales characters going around on stage. And all the VeggieTales character dialogue for that was pre-recorded. And so I spent an entire day, they flew me to Nashville for this all-day recording session where I was singing and speaking as both Pa Grape and Archibald. And it was a ton of fun. So, yeah, that's probably the most, character-wise, the most well-known thing that I've done, although not many people heard it because the stage show actually had kind of a limited run. But it was still kind of fun doing those characters for a bit. And I suppose I should probably give a little sample of that somewhere in here. So
we have Archibald Asparagus over in this corner.
And then we got Pa Grape over here. And, yeah, that's about it.
All right. Justin Barrett and Kevin Delaney, thank you so much for being on the show. Coming up, we'll have the next voiceover star, and we'll listen to your reviews of each of our four finalists. Next on The Wendy Edwards Show.
Ladies and gentlemen, it's time for the next voiceover star.
Brought to you by The Wendy Edwards Show, the following five finalists will move on to compete for the grand prize from ProSound, the caller experience experts.
Contestant 1,
J.D. Dickinson.
Contestant 2,
Brad Larson.
Contestant 3,
Steve Noland.
Contestant 4,
Justin Beck.
Contestant 5,
Jason C.
Jinkies, zoinks, ay caramba, it's Cartoon Voice Week.
The next voiceover star begins now.
During Audiobook Week, Marianne Coffey from Recording for the Blind and Dyslexic said JD had a very interesting voice to listen to. There was some pitch modulation that she pointed out. She said he could have settled down in that. And Ann Stevens said that she would have preferred if JD's pacing slowed down a little bit, but she did enjoy his attempt to punctuate and entertain his listeners. Let's listen to JD Dickinson's cartoon audition on the next voiceover star.
Well, if it isn't Irish Wally. I knew there was something fishy going on.
Well, why don't you get that nasty sandwich out of your back pocket, booger?
Why, I oughta just...
Ow! Let me
Brown,
go!
Put down that cream puff. I don't know what your game is, Missy, but no girl is going to disturb this well-oiled machine. Now, why don't you go play with your dolls or something?
Yeah, Wally. Go on with your little wimp friends.
Brown!
Okay, Coach.
But Coach!
Now, run along, sweetie.
All right, Justin, Kevin, what did you think of JD?
JD did a pretty good job. The one thing that came to mind is I think he could have pushed that militant personality just a bit more. It felt like he was holding back just a little bit, so exaggerating that a bit more would have been good. Really pay close attention to the directions where it says his demeanor changes. That really does need to change. There needs to be some contrast in there between this very strong military personality that comes in at the beginning and then that moment where he kind of tones it down a bit and then gets back into military again and then now run along, sweetie, at the end. Even that could be toned down some more. So find those areas of contrast where you can go, you know, back and forth between that stuff. When reviewing the script, look at character relationships. Look at try to find points of contrast, again, like I was saying, about how you can get contrast in the voice. Look for areas where either where the directions tell you to do that or where you just see, okay, here's a good place I can actually add some contrast to make a little more, you know, variety in the character's performance. But yeah, definitely pay very close attention to directions and all these things. I think he did a pretty good job overall of getting into character. Practice being just very, very over the top and really explore the range you have for exaggerating a character's performance and their personality and all these different things. Not just exaggerating the sound of the voice, but exaggerating the personality. If he's military, like, go over the top military. It's better to go too far and then be told, okay, pull it back a bit, you're going too strong, than to not go far enough. So err on the side of exaggeration. Just really take it all out there. The best part of the audition, I think, was in the second line where he's emphasizing the no girl and this well-oiled machine. I think that was a really, really nice touch on that to really put some, you know, some, again, that part sounded very, very in character. Even though the voice, I think, could have been pushed farther, I think that was a pretty good spot as far as getting into character for that guy.
It's very strong. He has great coach-like energy and voice. I could totally picture the character. I could see the character's facial expression, you know. It was very kind of mean and intimidating at times, but not too much so for a cartoon show. Yeah, it was good. It was a fun audition. The one thing I would say, if I were to give a critique, is I think he could have maybe played a little bit more with it. It was a little on one level. I would suggest maybe finding some different areas to go with it. But overall, very good character read. I get the sense this is not a main character, but an auxiliary type of character. So there doesn't necessarily have to be as much variety with those types of characters. But it was a good read.
When you mentioned switching it up a little bit, what did you mean? Like, how would you do that?
I would just recommend finding slightly different levels for the character. In other words, the performance was, as I like to put it, it was kind of all on the same level. It was kind of one note, you know. He was the mean coach followed by more of the mean coach, you know, more of the mean, gruff kind of coach. And that's always a trap with this kind of character, is that the performance ends up sounding somewhat repetitive. My concern is if this character is going to be seen now in additional scenes and, you know, additional episodes, that could get a little boring after a while.
Okay.
So in the space of really basically four lines or maybe five lines that the actor has to work with now, I'm assuming this is an audition now for a character, you want to try to show as much of a range or as much of a variety as possible while staying consistent to the character. And I think there's a way to be that gruff coach and be that kind of classic coach character while finding some slight differences from line to line. He did that. Don't get me wrong here. He did that. I just think he could have done maybe a little bit more.
Okay, but for a first time out?
Very good. I mean, very good. And what's neat is he's got the cartoon energy, you know. Maybe the pacing could have been a little bit quicker, but he had a good cartoon energy, and I can tell he's having fun with it, and that's what really matters.
It does. What did you like best about JD's audition?
I like the fact that in just listening to the character, I could see the character. I got a real sense of this guy. I could see him there standing there in his gray sweatshirt with his little blue baseball cap on and, you know, that kind of grizzled face. You know, I could really see the character.
Kind of leering at these kids.
Yes, yeah. Absolutely.
Excellent. All right. Can we move on to our next contestant, Steve Noland? Ann Stevens said she enjoyed the tone of Steve Noland's voice and also his pacing. Marianne Coffey thought he had interest in the topic that pulled her in without overdoing it, and she said he was very good at sharing content and making his listener a partner in what he was saying. Ann said she could have continued to listen to him. Let's see if his animation voice is something to listen to as well.
Well, if it isn't Irish Wally. I knew there was something fishy going on.
Well, why don't you get that nasty sandwich out of your back pocket, booger?
Why, I oughta just...
Ow! Let me go!
Brown, put down that cream puff! I don't know what your game is, Missy, but no girl is gonna disturb this well-oiled machine. Now, why don't you go play with your dolls or something?
Yeah, Wally. Go on with your little wimp friends.
Brown!
Okay, okay, Coach.
But Coach!
Up!
But I...
Up! Up! Now run along, sweetie.
That audition, I think, embodies more what I'm talking about in terms of variety. He went different places with the lines. It wasn't all the same. And that, I really like that. I would give him very high marks for variety.
Okay.
One thing I want to point out, and I'm not sure, Wendy, if you're going to edit these for putting them up on the website, but when I started to play the file initially I was concerned that maybe there had been some kind of a technical mistake because there was a whopping 7 seconds of silence
right
at the beginning.
Right.
And I just want to just make it clear that if you're recording an audition that's intended to be sent through, you want to cut any silence from the beginning. You want it to come right out in the beginning so that people don't have to wait. Otherwise, people might worry that, well, maybe this didn't get recorded right, or maybe there's some kind of a technical problem. So it's perfectly fine to have silence or gaps in your recording. You know, feel free to take a pause, take a breath, however you need to do that, but then edit that before you send it through. So that's just something I would point out.
Okay.
But the performance itself was quite good. I'm not in love with the acting. It was a good read. It was a good performance, but just some of the acting choices maybe were a little off. I want to just listen to it one more time.
Okay.
If you don't mind.
Not at all.
Well, if it isn't Iris Wally. I knew there was something fishy going on.
Well, why don't you get that nasty sandwich out of your back pocket, booger?
Why, I oughta just...
Ow! Let me go!
Brown, put down that cream puff! I don't know what your game is, Missy, but no girl is gonna disturb this well-oiled machine. Now, why don't you go play with your dolls or something?
Yeah, Wally. Go on with your little wimp friends.
Brown!
Okay, okay, Coach.
But, Coach!
Up!
But I...
Up! Up! Now run along, sweetie.
It was good. I think he could have had maybe a little bit more fun with it.
I think Steve did a pretty good job with this. Also, I think more exaggeration is needed in certain places, but I think he had some fun spots in there where the character was really starting to come through, and he was getting away from kind of the sound of his own voice and really getting into the meat of the character and letting the character shine through. One of the things that I think he could watch out for is if the guy is presented as a military character, and there are plenty of clues for that in the script, definitely go all out with military, but also be very aware of what a military character would do in certain situations. He's not going to say, Brown? It's not a question. It's a command. You know, military guys of that type are always commanding. They're not asking anybody anything. It's a command. You will do what I want you to do. And so, Brown! You know, and just in the face and pushed. And it's a statement. It's a demand. You're getting the guy's attention. It's not like, hey, Brown, can you do something for me? You know, but yeah, everything the coach should say or says should be in the form of a command, pretty much, except for those moments where he goes a little off character and it gets kind of interesting, and he goes a little softer and a little quieter, and then he gets back into the commanding tone again! So you play with that contrast, but when he's on game, he is fully on game. And there were a number of places in there where I felt like I heard too much of Steve in the voice and not much of the coach in the voice. And that's a tricky thing to do, is to separate yourself enough, even though it may have certain vocal qualities of you, it shouldn't have the delivery style that you normally have when you're saying things. And it comes down to really subtle things sometimes. And it's hard to put words to it even. But there is just a kind of absorption of the character that has to take place so that that every little nuance of what you say and how you say it comes out as the character and not as you, or even as the character tainted by you. And it's a tough level to get to, definitely. I think the second line in there that Steve did was pretty nice, the way he laid that down. And the sound, that kind of tone that he had when he does the second Brown, this really, I'm laying down the law kind of a tone, that really came through nicely, I think. As were some of the progression of those up, 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 interruption kind of things you have in there. And I like, again, the progression was, I think what I liked the most about it was that it wasn't just consistent pitch, tone. It was kind of going up, like he's escalating, like, oh, don't push me further, you know, and there's someplace he's going with those sounds. It's not just kind of, you know, the page says op, 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 but finding somewhere to go with that was a really good choice.
All right, well, thank you very much. Let's go on to Justin Beck. I believe he is an IT web developer guy, and he's actually British. He has a British accent, but for the purpose of this recording, he used an American one. Justin Beck sounds like he's the kind of person Marianne Coffey would like to have in her studio. He's straightforward, he's got a smooth delivery, and that's the stuff that she'd like to have in a textbook for recording for the blind and dyslexic. Anne enjoyed his pacing and thought Justin's voice was very smooth. However, listening made her a little sleepy. I have a feeling we're not going to be able to sleep with Justin as a coach in this animation script. Let's listen to his cartoon voice on the next voiceover star.
Well, if it isn't Iris Wally. I knew there was something fishy going on.
Well, why don't you get that nasty sandwich out of your back pocket, booger?
Why, I oughta just...
Ow! Let me
Brown,
go!
Put down that cream puff. I don't know what your game is, Missy, but no girl is gonna disturb this well-oiled machine. Now, why don't you go play with your dolls or something?
Yeah, Wally. Go on with your little wimp friends.
Brown!
Okay, okay, Coach.
But Coach!
Hop!
But I...
Hop! Now run along, sweetie.
First of all, he does an excellent American accent. I listened to this, actually, Wendy, for a moment before you officially had me listening to it. And you had not told me at that point that he was British. It's fantastic, really, really convincing. And I would not have known that he was not an American.
I know. He surprised me.
Very good. Yeah. It's a good read. I mean, it's a good take. Again, I would say, if I were coaching him, I would say, keep doing everything you're doing. Just maybe have a little bit more fun with it. Again, I'm concerned because I'm hearing that exactly as written on the page. I think that that's something that can be ad-libbed just a little bit more.
Well, and Kevin, I have to say that some of the scripts that they've had prior to this week have been pretty particular, and they have had to stick to the lines. And so I didn't tell them what to do before I sent the script out for Cartoon Week. I just sent it out. And part of the reason for that is so that they can learn as they go and get critiqued as they go and not have me tell them what to do so much ahead of time, because I think you need to learn by doing.
Sure. Yeah, absolutely. And again, I mean, different places, you know, there are certain production companies here that will say, we love improv, we love ad-libs. Others will say, stick to the script word for word.
Right. That's something you should ask again, your producer, right?
If you can. Okay. That's not always possible. But frankly, I always like to throw in at least a little bit of ad-libbing. And again, I'm talking about the words on the script like, I just get worried when I hear somebody read that exactly as it's written. That's the kind of thing that really needs to be done your own way. You know, they're not telling you, here's a word that we need you to speak, because it's not a word. It's an action, really, that has a sound to it. So that's just what I would say. I would just say maybe just 5% looser, 5% more fun with it. My one concern is, again, maybe some of the acting choices could have been a little bigger for animation. I think maybe he could have had more fun being more of that hard ass or being a little louder in places. I mean, you could really bark it out in some places. And maybe, again, just a slight increase there would have made it a little more appropriate for animation. Now, I don't know too much about this project as a whole and how silly it is or how cartoony it is. But I'm guessing for a character like this, I'm assuming here that the emphasis in the show is on the kids.
Right.
And here's an adult character.
Right.
That, you know, that's, you know, in a way he's kind of the enemy, you know, not really, but, you know, it's like, it's us versus the grown-ups. So, you know, to have more fun being that tough-as-nails coach, but of course he also has a sweet side, that's something fun to play with.
Yeah. All right. Well, I'm glad you got to hear Justin and his American accent. He really did surprise me with that. I didn't expect it.
Yeah, that's great. And, you know, when somebody can do an accent so well that it fools somebody from that area, you know you're doing it all right.
Uh-huh.
You're doing all right there.
Definitely.
I think Justin did a pretty good job with this guy. The thing that I think actually hampered him the most wasn't necessarily the way that he was trying to create the character's voice in terms of tone and the gruffness and that kind of thing. I think what sabotaged the whole performance really was mic technique. And I know we're not getting too too deeply into mic technique, but really when it comes down to it, mic technique is a huge part of how you are able to convey your character. If you need to get loud with a character, you can't do that when you're, you know, several inches from the mic. You got to get back, you know, a few feet in some cases. So learning how to successfully portray and convey your character's personality in all of its range with whatever microphone you have, whether it's a professional mic or, you know, a headset mic or whatever it is, you know, learning how to successfully get that delivery across, you know, and with the mic you have so that you get that range and can, you know, get that range out there in all of its range. Yeah. So mic technique, I think, is a big thing. And there's also some rushing happening in a few places in there. Allow the lines some time to breathe and give yourself time to breathe as the character. I mean, yeah, there are going to be some places where the character might be called upon to rush through certain things, but military guys are not known for rushing necessarily. They're known more for staccato, in-your-face, you know, forcefulness. And so being able to convey that kind of very, you know, very punctual, very just, you know, and just kind of, you know, drill in and get that kind of that tone to it, I think will help. As I've said with a lot of others, Justin, give yourself some more room for exaggeration and contrast. Work with that mic technique. I suggest getting off the mic, actually, to practice this, getting into the practice commentary here for a second. Step away from the mic and allow yourself to go full out with the total range of this character in terms of volume and exaggeration and everything, and then come back to the mic and figure out, okay, how do I have to either adjust my performance or adjust my mic technique in terms of position between myself and the mic to get that across, to make that so that I'm not having to hold myself back so much. If I have to hold myself back too much, like it sounded like you were doing, then it's hard to really get the full sense of range and potential range that character has. As far as reviewing the script, really watch the script directions. There was a spot in there where there was very strong emphasis on no girl, and I didn't hear that emphasis in your delivery. So keep an eye on that. But really just overall, again, like I'm saying for a lot, milk the character. Really get full in on the character. And again, mic technique comes into play with a lot of that. If you can't get into character fully, by staying the same distance from the mic the entire time, then figure out what kind of range you need to work with so that you can convey the character to its fullest. Getting back to what I said earlier, I think, Justin, you did a pretty good job with the delivery in some places. That's the kind of staccato approach. I think you had that at the very beginning. Put down that cream puff. Bump, 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 bump. A very nice kind of, you know, staccato approach there. And some good intensity during the line where you're saying, I don't know what your game is. But even though you could have pushed the voice quality, I think, a bit more, I think the intensity and intention behind what you were saying was really coming through nicely. As far as what the producers are looking for, again, I talked about those hooks and really immersing yourself in the character. And I think that immersion is probably the biggest thing I would say for a lot of these auditions. Just getting fully into character and knowing what you have to do to get fully in character, whether it's mic technique, whether it's further exaggeration of the voice, pitch, contrast, all those different things. You know, the producers want a character that is fully developed and fully created and, again, can inspire the animators. So I think there's some beginnings of that in what Justin's got in here. And just it's a matter of just pushing it farther.
All right, we have one more contestant, Jason C. He's also in web development, but as he says, he makes things pretty more than does the coding. Anne mentioned that Jason C.'s enthusiasm was great, but perhaps a little over the top for reading audiobooks. Marianne felt that Jason's building through the story was the clearest of all our finalists and that he conveyed the transition very well. For an audiobook read, Marianne felt Jason was a little too enthusiastic. However, she did point out that his voice work would be a perfect match, perfect, for narration of museum exhibits, and he would be especially great to listen to at a planetarium. Let's hear if Jason C.'s planetarium voice comes out in this audition for the next voiceover star.
Well, if it isn't Iris Wally. I knew there was something fishy going on.
Well, why don't you get that nasty sandwich out of your back pocket, booger?
Why, I oughta just...
Ow! Let me go!
Brown, put down that cream puff. I don't know what your game is, Missy, but no girl's gonna disturb this royal old machine. Now, why don't you go play with your dolls or something?
Yeah, Wally. Go on with your little wimp friends.
Brown!
Okay, okay, Coach.
But, Coach!
Ep, now run along, sweetie.
Biggest thing I would say for Jason is don't rush it. It's a little bit too intense and fast in a lot of places in there. Really give yourself time to milk what this character is saying. I got some nice intensity in there in a few places with the military character and the personality there, but it was going by so fast, it was hard to really get the full sense that this guy was hardcore just in your face. So it wasn't quite, again, as fully formed as I would like to hear for this kind of a character. Just more exaggeration overall, but definitely pull the pace down and slow things down a bit. Kind of like what I said for some others as far as when you're looking at the script, Jason, really dig into the characters. Really look at, again, even with short scripts, you can find little nuggets of information in there that give you clues as to how that character can be delivered. And I think there are plenty of clues as to how this coach can really come across as over-the-top military in some moments. And you did a good job with the contrast, developing contrast between those intense moments and the quieter, softer moments, especially in the middle, not quite so much at the end. The end kind of got rushed through and just blurred through all in one, you know, one fell swoop. But I think definitely there's some good contrast in the earlier parts there. But really just don't be afraid to go all out with the character and really just push it and go full on with this guy. As far as what to practice, I think exaggeration is probably the biggest thing. Really, again, like I said, get in the character's head, let the personality of the character inform everything that you do when you're talking. It's not just the voice, it is the entire personality, the full package of the character. So bring that full package, that full character to the table when you're doing your performance, and don't let yourself hold back. As far as what I like most about this, I think there's some good contrast, like I said before, between the well-oiled machine line and the doll's lines. There's some good, you know, some nice softening of the voice going into the doll line. And then, boom, nice big jump into Brown coming out of that. So really great contrast in those sections right there.
Yeah, that line, why don't you go play with your dolls or something, sounds like a different character. It sounds like he went out of character.
Okay.
Now, maybe that was his choice. In other words, maybe this guy really isn't tough as nails and he's putting on this voice. To me, it sounds like it's inconsistent. You know, it sounds like the character is inconsistent.
So it doesn't sound like the same character throughout.
Yeah, when he is playing the coach type of character there in that second line, it sounds, that tone is more appropriate. The problem is it doesn't really sound authentic to me.
Okay.
It sounds too much to me like a guy who's trying to do a voice. What I would recommend in a case like this, and believe me, this comes up from time to time, you will get a character that for whatever reason you feel like if you were to do what is typical or expected or just kind of, you know, that stereotypical kind of sound for that character, it would put you into a different vocal category than you really feel comfortable with. I get the sense overall he's not on really comfortable ground here vocally.
Okay.
And I think that's part of the reason why his voice kind of keeps probably switching back to his natural voice momentarily. What I would say in a case like that is discard the idea of the tough-as-nails stereotypical coach and go in a completely different direction. Play a character then that you feel comfortable with.
Right.
And then your audition will stand out. It'll be authentic. It'll sound real. And it also probably won't sound like anybody else's audition. And then what might happen is the producers might listen to that and say, wow, what a funny audition. You know, he's got some good acting chops. He's interesting. He's engaging. He's completely wrong for the coach. But you know what? We got this other character that he might be right for. That's what I would do in this situation.
Now, when you're talking to people in casting and they sent you this script and there's a directive to be militant, and can you stretch that? Is that okay in this instance? Do you think that that they could follow your advice and go ahead and try something a little different?
Sure. I mean, why not be effeminate and militant?
Okay.
That might be very funny, you know? I mean, again, I don't know what any particular actor's forte is, but, you know, sometimes, yeah, the word I use is skew. Sometimes you can skew the specs a little bit, and then sometimes you simply have no choice other than to essentially throw the specs out the window. They might say, we want a character, for instance, with an authentic Australian accent. Well, you're not from Australia. You've never set foot in Australia, so you can't say it's authentic. And frankly, your Australian accent just isn't that good. Or maybe you don't do any accents well.
Right.
What are you going to do? You have a chance to audition for something, and you've got a choice. Either don't audition for it, which sometimes that's the right choice to make, or you can record an audition and send it through and say, in effect, I don't do what you're asking for, but here's something else that you might like. And most of the time, that's the choice that I would make. I would record something, send it through, and you know what? Love me or hate me, I took a stab at it, I did something, and maybe if nothing else, I put a smile on your face before you threw it in the trash can. I say, generally speaking, let the silliness of the piece be your guide. Obviously, if you're doing a serious documentary narration, that's not the time to be improvising and ad-libbing. But if you're playing a character, you're playing something for a funny show, animation, that kind of thing, very often they want to hear someone who can ad-lib or improv a little bit. And in fact, for something like this, it, I would say, would be totally acceptable after you've read the lines as they're written in the script, more or less. Improv a couple lines at the end. You know, there's nothing wrong with that. There's nothing wrong with writing a few lines and sticking them at the end. You've already done their script, basically. Now you're just showing them, hey, you know what? I'm more than just a good reader. I can also think as this character.
Yeah.
I think that's always a good thing to add.
That's what I was wondering. I was just about to ask you is, you know, when you do that, if you add a couple of lines to the end of the script and you use that character's voice and you really get into that character, you're showing them that you can carry this person off.
Exactly. And that's very often the concern. You know, if we're going to cast somebody for a series, well, you know, Scooby-Doo started in 1969. Two of the original actors are still doing that to this day.
Mm-hmm.
So we could be talking about a show that could be around for years and years, and we need to know, like you said, that you're going to be able to do whatever the scene calls for. That's why I keep going back to this idea of variety, which, again, I think that this artist did do quite well. I just think maybe some of the acting choices could have been, he could have had more fun with it. That's the way I would put it. But that said, it was a good audition, and I would definitely, I do think he has something very good here.
Experiment not just with the range of your voice, but the range of personality types and character quirks and all those associated things that go into making a full character. Because you're not just portraying a sound, you're portraying an entity. A person, a creature, whatever it may be. And you have to wrap your head enough around that entire entity, not just the sound, but the whatever else makes up this person or this creature or whatever it is, to convince the audience that they're listening to this other person, this other creature, not you. They have to be fully convinced that it's not the actor Justin Barrett or Kevin Delaney or Bob Bergen or Nancy Cartwright, or whoever else is out there. It's not them just putting on a voice. It is another character. You have to get that far into it. And that's probably the toughest thing about this whole thing, is to get that deep into a character, to embody that character, really. And so practicing not just the sound, but the entirety of a character is really, really important.
All right. Well, thank you so much.
Thanks, Wendy, for having me on. It was a lot of fun. And good luck to all the contestants in the competition.
Thanks to Justin Barrett and Kevin Delaney for taking the time out to do reviews of The Next Voiceover Star. Thank you to Associate Professor Baron Bell from the Art Institute of Atlanta for providing this week's script. Next week, all of the voiceover stars are coming to the studio for the big announcement of who will be the next voiceover star. Chester Hull from Pro Sound will be present, and we're going to kick off a new series called I Pay It Forward. Can't let you go until I thank Mikey B from OTBpodcast.com. Podcast yourself. Have a great week.